We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Sunday Take, May 1st, 2022. I'm Blaise Olson. The unemployment insurance deal and bonus pay got done at the Capitol this week. The governor gave his state of the state. Michelle Benson dropped out of the governor's race. It was a busy week in Minnesota politics. And we will continue to cover politics deeper next week. This week, we're in Grand Rapids for the show as part of the Minnesota Chamber Leadership Minnesota program. This is a program that is 22 years old, and business leaders from throughout the state travel the state over a year and learn about the different parts of the economy throughout the state. So, for instance, they travel to Austin and southern Minnesota and learn about ag and production agriculture. They go to Mayo Clinic. We visit mines in northern Minnesota and the Twin Cities, focus on other kind of healthcare parts of the economy. It's really a great program. I went through it 19 years ago. I learned a lot. I made some great friends. But you hear from businesses, and we hear so much about the economy, COVID, all the dynamics, inflation, that I thought this week we would talk to business owners about how their businesses changed because of the pandemic. From hospitality to construction to manufacturing, we'll have three different guests coming up, and we'll talk about what did they learn? What's labor look like? Where are their costs? Where are their opportunities? So often, we just don't tell these business stories, but like this past week, the legislature gets so much pressure on business issues. So let's talk to Fred Bobich, and we'll talk to Bob Gardner, and we'll learn more about their businesses. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This Sunday Take, I explained in the open that we're doing things a little differently. So as part of Leadership Minnesota, I'm up in Grand Rapids and stayed at Rutgers Sugar Lake Lodge. The proprietor there is a guy I've known for almost 20 years, Fred Bobich. And he's in the hospitality industry. And there's been a lot of talk about hospitality and how it's changed due to COVID. And I wanted to have Fred kind of tell his story about it, especially in greater Minnesota. Fred, thanks for joining Sunday Take.
Glad to join you, boys.
So, Fred, talk about the early days of the pandemic, what you experienced, how it hit because everybody's story is different, but I can only imagine having a resort near Grand Rapids that there was probably some panic.
Oh, clearly some panic. You know, I often tell people, I'll never forget the day that the pandemic really hit us. It's almost like I can't, you know, forget the date that 9/11, you know, when that occurred, where I was. But I was here at the resort hosting a retreat, a leadership retreat, and got the call from the Blandin Foundation, to be specific, telling me that they were going to cancel the next two retreats that were coming up over the next month and a half. And from there, the phone started to ring, and like dominoes, all of our group business went away. I mean, it was in a matter of weeks, it was taken off the books for 2020 and well into 2021. It was a shock.
And I think you've spoken that, you know, you had to lay people off, but there was, you know, the PPP and other things were helpful to the business.
Yes. So for the first time in our 28-year history, we went real deep in terms of layoffs, you know, hoping that they would be temporary.
Right.
And thanks to the PPP program, they were temporary. We were able to bring them back in May of 2020 in anticipation that we would still have our leisure market, which picks up in, you know, around Memorial Day. And so we were anxious to see what impact the pandemic would have on that segment of our business. And, you know, so we were quite nervous going into June. And then all of a sudden the phone started to ring, and they rang and rang. You know, clearly people, you know, wanted to, you know, to get out of their homes and weren't going to fly, of course. Weren't going to drive long distance,
right?
And it turned out to be an amazing summer, but then in the fall we did have to go back to some layoffs, just because we didn't have our group business.
Yeah, I'm talking to Fred Brobich. He's the proprietor and owner of Sugar Lake Lodge up near Grand Rapids. We're here as part of the Minnesota Chamber's Leadership Minnesota program. Fred and I went through some 19 years ago. Fred, how has it changed operations? What is it like now? And what did you learn from the pandemic as far as kind of how you run the resort, the golf course, the restaurant, et cetera?
Yeah, so we've always felt that we had to have a stronger proportion of our business be corporate, be associations, group business in general. And this kind of flipped it. We are now headed down a path where leisure dominates our business, and groups are going to be somewhat secondary. But it also affected labor because some of the way we operated, you know, went away. We no longer operate two kitchens for two different segments. Through the months of June, July, and August, we've got it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
Staffing, you know, became, you know, we were able to cut our staff without hurting our services,
mm-hmm.
and did that through some operational changes in the way we clean our rooms, or how often we clean our rooms in terms of maid service. But we were much, much more profitable in that summer. The pandemic summer, and it's just gotten better from there.
It's interesting you say that about maid service, because as I've traveled recently, I think that that's now kind of the norm, even, you know, in hotels and throughout the country, is that you have to ask for maid service, or, you know, if you need towels, you just go and ask for them, or they bring them to the room when you ask for them. But I've thought of it myself operationally, how much that changed. Obviously changes a lot of cost issues that were probably there before, laundry, et cetera. But it also, you know, in this, in the tight labor market, it probably allows a housekeeping staff to be lighter and shorter. Are there other places where you've experienced that?
Yeah, you know, also in the restaurant, we have an a la carte restaurant that's open to our guests and in the public called Otis's. And we now, during the pandemic, we weren't doing table side service like many.
Right.
So they had to come into the restaurant, go to the bar, hostess station, and order their food, pay for it, and then we were able to deliver it out to their tables. But that also streamlined our staffing. And we're not going to stop doing that. We're just going to add back, some dimension of service where we'll at least go back to the table and take a reorder.
Okay.
But that helped on the staffing basis. And no one has complained. And actually, many of our long-term guests like it. You know, they have no problem with coming up and placing their order.
Makes sense. Fred, as you talk about buying a resort, running a resort, Minnesota summer, that was always going to be the peak season. Now that's obviously the major part of your business. But as you think about, you know, the conference business that you worked so hard to build during the winter and things like that, those haven't come back as fast. Any sense of when you think conferences will start to come back or more like business meeting type events?
Yeah, you know, we're actually seeing that now.
Okay.
We're getting a lot of inquiries for small to medium size corporate retreats. And I'd like to think that that's going to be something that continues as people stay working from home, and the need for, you know, these groups to get together at some point face to face and continue to build those relationships that they were building before in the office. But there's clearly it's coming back. Our September is booked up now with groups.
Okay.
And it's filtering now into October. So I anticipate that we will be back to some normalcy, but in a different degree. The size of the groups and the type of the groups, I think, is going to be different. It's going to be smaller. And that's okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I also think that everybody has just changed some habits, and some people are going to go to those events and some people aren't. It's not necessarily, you know, pandemic related. It's the way they work, how they work. And I do think also when we're there, when we're here, when we're at, you know, Sugar Lake, they know the people. So people who come back, you have return customers every year. They know your family, they know the staff, and then they keep going back those places. I think that's why people are probably comfortable.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's our vision. I mean, we're not looking to get bigger. Obviously, we always want to be better, get better, but we also want to keep the personal touch.
Yeah. You know,
so Sugar Lake Lodge might be one of the very few family-owned and operated and businesses that continue on generation to generation. That's our vision. And
yeah.
We've already started that path with my youngest daughter and her husband. We think that's going to be a differentiator for us, going forward.
You know, I think that's interesting because as I take the drive up 169, people are familiar with Brainerd, they're familiar with Duluth, but Grand Rapids is this hidden gem that isn't as chaotic as all those places. And I'm not trying to get a bunch of people to come because it's less chaotic. But I think when you talk about that vision of generational ownership, it fits with some of the lifestyle changes younger people are making and where they want to raise their family, where they want to live from the rat race of the city.
Well, and I think we've talked about this before too, but when it's all said and done, not everybody can own a cabin on the lake. And, here you come and you're taken care of. You have a golf course out your back door. You know, the goal is to have all those kind of services all in one spot. In it, you know, that's what the resort business is.
Great. Fred Bobich from Rutgers Sugar Lake Lodge, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take. When we
come back,
we're going to talk about manufacturing, how it's changed for one northern Minnesota manufacturer, and what the supply chain looks like for that. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. Blois Olson on News Talk 830 WCCO. Lori Davies is my guest, and we're going to talk about the state of manufacturing in Minnesota. Lori, talk about what your company does and makes and where you're located.
We are a short to medium run metal stamping company located in beautiful Merrifield, Minnesota, up in the Brainerd Lakes area. Very blessed to be able to work with a company and live in God's country at the same time. Actually, Klaus Stamping is a family-owned business. We've been in business since 1970, started out as an eight-person shop and have grown to over 500 people now. A manufacturer with 500 people, over 500 people, puts us in the top 1% of manufacturing companies in the state of Minnesota as far as number of employees.
Well, one of the reasons this week we want to talk about the state of the economy is everybody's had a very different experience in the economy the last few years. And from a business perspective, talk about how you operated. Did the pandemic affect you? What has supply chain done? We hear about these stories, but what does it mean to Klaus Stamping?
It's been a very interesting past 2 years. There's no doubt about that. So pandemic hit in March. We didn't have our first case at Klaus Stamping until August. And so while everyone else was shut down, it was business as normal for us. We did experience a lot of our customers were shutting down, and there was a huge, nobody knew what was going to happen with the economy, so there was this huge drop-off in demand, and it was like somebody turned off the hose, and when they turned it back on, they turned on a fire hose, and customer demand drastically shifted into the recreational area, so we manufacture parts for other OEMs, and once they realized that market share was huge and they could sell, we were swamped beyond belief. And at the same time, struggling to find employees, struggling to find materials to make the product. And so it's been a very challenging few years. Feel like we're finally back on top of things.
So labor is one of the things every industry has had their challenges with the last few years. You're in a smaller population area. How did you find employees? Did wages go up? Did benefits go up? Did it change what your employees expected?
I think that there's definitely been a shift. Last year we spent a significant amount of time doing a market study on wages, did do some significant adjustments to our starting wages. And this entire past year we've been working on our whole process and developing a pay for performance, trying to align knowledge, skills, ability, and what people are bringing into the job with how they're compensated. So definitely a significant shift, and finding workforce is a challenge. We used to be in manufacturing. A lot of times it's very one-to-one, one person, one machine.
Yep.
And if the machine's not running, you're not making money. And so we ran three 8-hour shifts, and now we're up to 7 different shift opportunities in the hopes of attracting different people. So we've got 10-hour shifts, we've got a 12-hour shift that runs the weekend, just trying to bring more flexibility in to meet the demands of more people.
My guest is Lori Davies from Klaus Stamping, and we're talking about Minnesota's economy this week on Sunday Take. Lori, when you talk about the labor and the changing dynamics and the different shifts you had to create, what about supply? Did you run into supply issues? And what was the root cause of some of the challenges on supply?
So steel is our largest supply component. Pre-COVID, it was in the mid-30s per pound.
Yeah.
I think it $1.12 a pound, maybe even higher. So a significant price change, making it very challenging to keep up with the pricing to the customers to be on the even or the winning side of that. And then at the same time struggling to get the supply. And then we do use weld nuts and other things.
Yep.
So our purchasing department, yes, has been very challenged, but they are a phenomenal group of people, very, very resourceful. A lot of times it means ordering from multiple sources and hoping that one comes through. So that, that control of inventory on the other side, you know, sometimes you don't have enough, and at other times, holy smokes, how did we get so much?
No, it's interesting you say that, because I've talked to a number of people in manufacturing who are like, well, we just tripled our order hoping we'd get a third of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if we ordered our normal amount, we'd only get a third of our normal amount, and then we'd be short. So as you think about those strategies, you said you think you're finally back on top of the issues. Do you think that...
Is it
more stable now? Here we are, you know, 2 years after the beginning of the pandemic, or are there permanent ways in which your business changed?
I think that there's definite ways that our business has changed. I think that we've become more agile. I think that we've put in some different parameters for different levels of customers in order to try to flatten the peaks and valleys a little bit and keep things more on a consistent feel. Some of our top customers are still down, and I think that they're experiencing the same workforce shortages that we are. You know, if they would ramp back up to full speed, it could be a challenge for us again. But trying to as a short to medium run stamper, our lead times are 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
And so from week to week, if everybody all of a sudden needs more, that can have a huge trickle-down effect for us. But we're seeing what people want to do is not necessarily what they're truly able to do. And so we see, like, May was going to be our big month. Now June is heavier than May.
Right.
It kind of keeps getting
pushed out. Okay. Lori, last question here. You operate a business in Greater Minnesota. You hear stories about the metro area. You hear stories about businesses. What, if you were to grow, if you were to think about why you are in Merrifield, what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages?
So our company actually started out down in the metro area, I think in Brooklyn Park, and moved up to Merrifield for workforce. Not as available now as it was at that time, but there's the people who are in our area are there because that's where they want to be. They want to live in Greater Minnesota. They want to live in the Lakes area. Kind of the theme up there is work where you play. And so very blessed that every day at the end of the day, I can walk out and enjoy the lake, and I don't have to make that weekend commute that a lot of people do. So
exactly. And if you're listening to this on one of those commutes, know that we get that, and we're recording from Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and Leadership Minnesota. When we come back on Sunday Tag, we'll talk to Bob Gardner, Gardner Construction, Gardner Builders. He's been growing a lot, and I would just say that he has experienced all the trials and tribulations of growth during a pandemic. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take on Newstalk 830 WCCO. I'm Blois Olson. For the final cup of coffee this Sunday morning, we're going to talk to Bob Gardner of Gardner Builders. Bob and I have known each other a long time, and I've watched his business grow. And whenever I see, whether it's kind of fences that say Gardner or, you know, a small retail location, he's done everything from the Dayton's Project to a retail bank location, I think, like, how did you get that deal, or how did that project work? And knowing a guy when he started his company is, and we'll talk about this, is one of the reasons why I wanted this show to be about Minnesota's economy. And everybody's dealing with the economy differently. And we hear a lot about construction, and Bob's in commercial construction, and he joins me now. Bob, when did you start Gardner Builders, and what motivated you after working for other contractors to start it? And then I want to talk about why you've grown the way you have.
Thanks, Blois.
We started Gardner Builders actually October 1st of 2010, and it was the bottom of the Great Recession, and I was watching a bunch of other general contractors and trade partners lay people off. And some of those big firms were actually turning work away. And the work that we focused on at that point was more high-end commercial office space.
Yeah.
Whether it's contractions or expansions, there were still quite a bit of moves in the market. You know, when people are moving offices, there's always work that needs to be done. And there was not a lack of opportunity. And the reason I tell people this all the time, but the reason I started it is because, I had four small kids at the time, and they were, you know, 1, 3, 5, and 6. And, you know, I would come home from work and mad at the day, and they were excited to see me, and I couldn't reciprocate their energy. And because of my frustration with the current situation, and I thought, okay, I'm going to create a place where I would love to work and other people would love to work as well. And we boiled that down to one goal as a company, and that goal is that we provide a place where people feel valued for who they are. They feel challenged in the work that we give them, and that we provide an environment where they love to come to work. And we feel like if we focus on that, it then radiates out into the trades and to the designers and to the, you know, to our clients who actually hire us for a business objective.
Well, I think that it's interesting to hear you say it in those terms, because I call it founder's mentality. There's a moment where a founder of a company is like, here's a different way, or here's a way to do that. So we obviously at Fluence track real estate. We work for developers. We see cranes. We see buildings. But then we look at prices. We hear about supply. We hear about labor. Talk about the last 2 years of Gardner Builders in the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic. What are your biggest opportunities and what are your biggest challenges?
You know, the interesting thing, everybody was operating off of the same playbook at the beginning of the pandemic. We've never seen this before, and so we actually surrounded ourselves with other business people, and we tapped into the Minnesota Chamber, picked up the phone, and called Doug Loon, and enrolled a bunch of other people in how is government going to react, and are we going to have to shut down, are we closing everything? It turned out that, you know, construction became an essential business, and so our folks continued to work through the pandemic. We actually kept all of our folks employed the past 2 years through various, we had projects that were canceled.
Yep.
Our mentality is, how do we meet them where their needs are? And so we can get creative and get smart. We did a big Fortune 500 company decided to do touch-free restrooms across their entire U.S. portfolio.
Wow.
And we implemented that for them. It's not something that we did on a regular basis, but we touched 700 locations around the country to do touch-free restrooms because our client said, hey, can you help us? And so then we mobilized a team that would normally be working on, you know, another project downtown Minneapolis. They just refocused. And so I think in that, that's a thing where we also sourced all those materials directly. And materials, labor, those are things that, as you touched on, are things that become even more challenging. What we've seen is there's actually a lot of money in the market. People are flush with cash.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of projects with pent-up demand. And then, you know, the perfect storm is there's such a lag in the supply chain through probably 15 to 30 different disruptions across the globe. You know, there's one example is Texas gets a deep freeze and all of their, you know, their grid drops. Well, that impacts, crazy enough, that impacts the ingredients in drywall. It impacts everything that goes that's foam based. You know, the major foam manufacturing company in the world is out of Texas.
Okay.
So foam for furniture, like pads that you sit on, like so, and And people are at home and they're buying new furniture.
Right.
Well, new furniture now is like 6 to 8 months out.
Yeah.
All that's the same type of insulation is in the exterior of a refrigerator. So appliances are disrupted.
Yeah.
Manufacturers shifted from making chips for automobiles. They shifted from making chips for appliances have a ton of chips in them. So that also is disrupted. Then we see steel. As a most recent example, we heard 2 days ago that steel prices in the U.S. have doubled in the past 2 months because of the war in Ukraine.
Right.
The second largest steel mill in the world was bombed in Ukraine. It doesn't make up that big of a doesn't make up that big of a demand for the U.S. steel.
Right.
But it's this
world
ripple effect.
It's a global thing. I'm talking to Bob Gardner of Gardner Builders, and we're talking about Minnesota's economy this week. He does commercial construction. You talked about touch-free bathrooms and 700 locations. And if you reflect, had you ever heard about a touch-free bathroom 2 years ago or somebody who wanted to do 700 of them?
Well, yes. We had heard of touch-free restrooms, but not anyone that would do it across their portfolio.
Okay.
And I don't know that they, you know, many companies even think that that's
a thing.
It's the necessary thing. But when you start to listen to your people, and if you're going to get them back to the office,
right?
Fear is a real thing, whether you want to acknowledge it or not.
Let's talk about getting back to the office. You talk to developers. You talk to office brokers. Where are we at? What is the mentality about? How are you thinking about your business, and how are people who build, lease, and have employees back in the office? What are they thinking about for the future?
I think what we realized immediately in the beginning of the pandemic is people still can be productive remotely, and a lot of folks shifted their focus to doing remote work, and they realized they were still getting work done. So that, you know, if you need to stay home and work and make you feel comfortable,
yeah,
that's cool. We're now seeing folks saying, you know what, we actually get a lot out of face-to-face human communication, that there's this natural transmission of ideas that actually make your business better. And so from our business, we have folks in the office. We don't require people to be in the office, but we say, listen, things get, you learn a lot more and projects run a lot smoother when we're working together as a team.
What about your clients?
Our clients are, what's interesting is some have said, get back to the office and get back now, and there's no arguments. Others have said, you know what, we're gonna make it flexible, and we're gonna put touchdown stations in. So we've retrofitted quite a few offices that really make it more flexible, so that there's, you know, we're coming in and it's a touchdown station rather than your station that you're sitting at every day. And so footprints are shrinking a little bit, but there's more amenities. Interesting conversation, and the big article last week was one on Target not coming back downtown.
Right.
That's actually not the real story.
That's the headline.
It's the headline. And it's an unfortunate headline, because if you walk downtown Minneapolis today, you see Target folks everywhere. Right? So that's exactly what happened with Target. Is they're retrofitting their floors to create more of this hybrid workspace, and you can work from home or work downtown, but they're making it optional for them.
Right.
And now you're seeing them come in droves downtown. Right. And it's invigorating to see, and people love it. It's right. It's this proximity.
Right. So downtown versus the suburbs, as you look at it, the headlines, you know, the cost of space, the convenience of downtown, the obviously public safety issues and perception. Do you sense that people will leave downtown Minneapolis when they rebuild or release their next space, or is this just a blip on the radar?
Both.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is there are people, there are companies who have deliberately picked up their operations and moved out of downtown. But what we're seeing is in that vacuum or that void, other folks are like, I now can move my business downtown, and my people are going to be really excited to be down there.
Yeah.
And so it's this, it's kind of like squeezing the balloon, right? So there's people that move out,
yeah,
right? And others are coming back. And we're seeing a lot of that. And there's quite a bit of leasing activity picking up downtown Minneapolis. But again, we have seen our work go both places. We've built quite a bit in the suburbs over the past 2 years, and that probably has been the leader. But now we're seeing more and more come back downtown, and they're new faces, people that haven't been downtown, and that's exciting as well.
Last question, is Minnesota different? I know you guys do work all over the country. Are other metro markets experiencing the same balloon shift?
I think Minnesota is different in the fact that we are lagging downtown Minneapolis because of many factors. But I mean, public safety is probably the biggest one, and then you have large Fortune 500 companies that aren't bringing their folks back downtown, and now they're starting to do that. So we're doing work in Dallas, we're doing work in Denver. I think we've done work in many other places around the country. What we've seen is every municipality has different functionality, and like Denver, as an example, is really onerous on regulation.
Yeah.
And there's no consistency in their regulation.
Okay.
Dallas is easy to work in.
Right.
And there's quite a bit of work going on in Dallas right now. And in Chicago, there's not a lot. Like, Chicago is a magnified version of Minneapolis,
right,
where the office space in the loop, there's not a ton going on, and people are moving out of the loop. But they're going to the West Loop, which is Fulton Market, and you can't, they can't build fast,
right,
enough.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic. And so every place is a little bit different. I do think regulation is a big deal.
Yeah.
Denver is one of those most frustrating examples.
Interesting. Bob, thanks for joining me on Sunday Tech. If you want to follow me, or if you just tuned in, you can go to WCCORadio.com and look for Sunday Take, or subscribe to Morning Take. We're on with Vanita every Monday through Thursday at 6:20. And you can go to fluence-newsletters.com, look for Blois Olson on Twitter or Facebook. Thanks for joining us on Sunday Take.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.